Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Talk with Ricky. I'm your host with the Paranormal Truth Seekers. Thanks for listening in as we start tonight's podcast. Let us begin. Thanks for listening. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. This is Ricky here live with our show. Tonight I have a few guests. I'm going to bring them on in just a sec. We have my co-host, Brent, and my guest, Haley. And I'm bringing you guys on now. So go ahead. Let's start with Haley here. And tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm Haley, or I go by Haley Massacre for like a long time. I'm a tour guide looking to do my own little tour thing. I'm in school for technology, but I've been involved with paranormal in New York and Georgia and in Savannah most of my life. I'm a psychic and a tarot reader.
Very nice to have you with us tonight. All right, Brent, go ahead and tell us who you call yourself.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Brent from Central Arkansas. I've been involved in the paranormal game since 2009, went on my first investigation. Got a picture right away, and I've just been hooked ever since. I've been to like Boonville, been to Conway, been to a couple haunted museums, and it's just, I love it. It's the most awesome thing I've ever done.
Yes, it is. I'm grateful that you both joined us tonight. And we're going to start with Haley here in Savannah. Can you ever tell us a little bit about the history of Savannah and some of the hot spots?
Some of the hot spots, I mean, Savannah has been around as a city since the 1700s, was founded by James Oglethorpe. And some of the real hot spots for paranormal activity is definitely Sorrel Weed House. I mean, I have pictures of little faces peering at me in multiple parts of Sorrel Weed House evidence group, and I'm basically identifying everybody. The 1790 Inn is definitely another hot spot. The old Pink House restaurant, which women have been getting locked in bathrooms for many years. 1790 Inn is definitely the Kehoe House, which was built by the Kehoe Iron family. Also was a funeral home for many years, and football players, where the Jets were actually good, Joe Namath almost bought it and turned it into a Playboy Bunny house. Colonial Park Cemetery is definitely a big one. Mercer Williams House. If anybody read Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, that is the house. And, oh my gosh, there's so many places. Forsyth Park, the old Candler Hospital. Too many to name. Too many. Boy House Inn, Savannah Theater. I'm sorry?
Yeah, definitely a lot to experience out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, like when we did the video, that was not even half the stuff that we could have covered. That was not half of it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of potential out there. All right, now, Brent, you're on site, actually, on the cemetery. Tell us what's going on out there.
Okay, so the first time I came to Conway Cemetery, it's actually the Oak Grove Cemetery here in Conway, was about 2015. Just really, really good energy. I didn't have very much equipment back then because a bunch of it had gotten stolen. So we would hear twig snap and whatnot. Well, me and my buddy Chad, I got here with me, we started SPS Arkansas, which is Superior Paranormal Services, and so we had an investigation. We did two cemeteries in one. We hit Mayflower Cemetery and they came to Conway. Well, we had this lady with us, and she was supposed to be a practicing shaman, and she opened up stuff that she couldn't close. And
oh, jeez.
That night we got the most investigation or most evidence we'd ever gotten. I got about 15 EVPs from Mayflower, and then I came to Conway. And when I came to Conway, there's this gazebo here. It should be, like, dead in the center of the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And we, when I went back to listen to my recordings, when we got there and we passed it, it yelled, "Slice those motherfuckers at us," in a deep, dark voice.
Oh,
very
geez.
Evil. I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, we've just been coming back a few more times, and the first time we came out this year, I was kind of angry and making a fuss, and so my friend Chad was taking pictures, and we caught a picture of a little girl. So, and we have a theory: the first person to be buried here was an 8-year-old girl named Maude, who's gravestone we're actually on the hunt for right now. We believe that was her. We caught her on recording, and then we got the picture of her. And then we've also got, Chad, what else have we got here?
We got red orbs.
We've got a video of them, like two red orbs, and this is a purple video, so they show up, they go up at an angle, and they come back down. Where they come down at is right next to a Civil War sign talking about a Colonel Whit Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And no, Colonel Allen Whit, excuse me. And he is buried right near the gazebo. So we're going to be talking to him tonight, and we're going to try to find Miss Maud and communicate with her.
Right.
And then we've got things we've had, and people might not believe it, but we came out here with we did the flashlight trick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You let's screw it. Well, there was one picture we had seen a shadow, so we followed it, set it down on the headstone, and then in one of the pictures, it took first shot. One of the pictures, there was a shadow right behind the flashlight beam.
Wow. That is really good. I'd like to see those pictures if you can bring those up. And
yeah.
Let's go back to Haley here. Haley, what kind of experiences have you had on your tours or whatever in Savannah there?
Well, yeah, I've been doing tours on and off for 2 years now, but definitely there's a place called Backer's Walk, which was, you know, they had underground tunnels, they would trade goods and stuff, and even slaves.
Hmm.
And there's, like, this one bridge. I physically, when I close, like, blink my eyes really quickly, or I close my eyes for a second, I feel as though if someone had a rope on my neck with the bag and throwing me off that bridge. And
that's
just walk. It's like this weird energy. And it's just really weird. You know, I've throughout Weed House, I know when I took you on that tour,
yeah.
I know we both saw eyes watching us from Sorrel Weed House, but it wasn't like it was trying to hurt anybody. Like, you see, I posted on Facebook and pictures of, like, three figures looking at me out the window.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nothing. They weren't there to really hurt us or hurt me. They were just, like, very curious, you know. It's like they see the cars, they see what outfits we wear. They're probably thinking, you know, what is this?
Yeah, for sure.
I've also, there's like a crypt in Colonial Park Cemetery. I mean, it's, you could see if I do a walking tour, obviously, but not when I was driving the horses.
Right.
Like, it was a really hot day. And all of a sudden, I feel like an arm or somebody just touching my arm. Just like they were passing by. It was like a hello. It was like a cold hand, and it was hot. It was hot out with a cold hand. So it was just kind of like a hello there. How are you? And that one night, when I was still doing, you know, the driving around tours, all of a sudden around Colonial Park Cemetery, all my equipment shorted out. Every microphone, everything died. It was quite embarrassing. And also, like, in the lot where I had to park, you know, there was, like, I have a picture. I wish I could find it where it is. I took a picture. I felt something from inside the hearse staring at me, and you see, like, this warped face, and it's all blurred. Because sometimes, I don't know if you guys ever had this, if you take a picture of a ghost, you know, sometimes it's really blurry, but you see a face.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that lot had some things messing with me. I know when I was 13 years old, when I first came to Savannah with my parents, the infamous Bird Girl statue, which is now, I think it's either the Telfair or the Jepson Center. I could be wrong. Don't quote me. I stay at the hotel, and I had this dream where the hotel window is over, and there's Bird Girl telling me, get out. I woke up, and it was so surreal. Like, she was telling me to get out. And I felt some energy, you know, with the Marshall House and everything. My own home is actually haunted. I think I mentioned this. My own home is actually haunted. But it's nothing sinister. It's my parents, mostly my dad. It also could be something that's attached to, like, the many antiques that I do have.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm originally from New York, I've definitely had some hauntings in New York as well.
All right.
I'm sorry?
No, sorry. Yeah, we'll get back to that in a minute there. I want to give you both equal time. So you say, Brett, you've never been to Georgia before?
I've never been to Georgia. Savannah's where it's at, man.
It is, definitely. If you come up here, you definitely got to get with Haley and me and check out Savannah.
That'd be cool. This weekend, on the 23rd, I don't know how familiar you are with Arkansas, but we have the opportunity to go investigate the Powhatan old courthouse and jail. So we're going
to first people to investigate the case.
Yeah, so we're going to be they closed off the investigation due to COVID and all that.
Yeah.
And we're going to be the first people back there to investigate since they're opening it back up. So that's going to be pretty cool. Last time we were there, I had a gentleman who was part of the local police department, and we locked him inside one of the cells there. Let's just say he got some activity from there.
I can imagine that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
All right. So let's
go ahead.
As I say, it was just some open discussion between all three of us here. We just talk about, you know, our beliefs in the spirit world and ghosts, you know, what do they want, what do they do, where do they come from. And this is this open talk between all three of us here. And whoever wants to start off with that, go ahead and jump in.
Well, you know,
go ahead, Brett.
You go ahead. Well, I started out with a very technical guy. You know, him, his brother, they're real technical. He actually did an interview while we were investigating Kern Hall one night here in Little Rock. And So basically what he said is, you know, you've got, you think of a building as a big battery. And when something happens, you know, either it be traumatic or, you know, even a really good good event, you know, it the building stores that energy. And
yeah.
That's how you get these residual hauntings, you know. It's just because it's got there was just so much energy in that moment. It's just like you get kids laughing, running down the road, you know, down the hallway. That don't always mean they're dead, you know. And it,
yeah, that's a good point.
It just plays on a loop. Now, you know, intelligent hauntings, I've got nothing on that. That really intrigues me.
It does. May I
add this?
Yes, go ahead.
I mean, since being around paranormal my entire life, you know, sometimes, you know, in a lot of these tours here in Savannah, you know, it's like, oh, make everything kind of like a circus. But, you know, a lot of these folks, you know, they were people at one point. They were, you know, we are actually the intruders, like places like the Hamilton Turner Inn, the Owens Thomas House. You know, we are the intruders. You know,
they still think
it's their home, and a lot of like people like really disrespect them. I mean, you know, like I've seen like tours make a complete mockery of these people. Once I get my tour business up, I mean, yeah, it's going to be kind of like jokey but serious. But it's also going to be, you know, an understanding of these ghosts. You know, ghosts don't really mean to hurt us. They think wherever they are, it's still their home. It's still their property. Why are these people here? Who are you?
I get that.
You know. Like people that go to Sorrel Weed House, they're like, why am I getting scratched? Why is someone grabbing me? You know, the ghosts that are still lingering there, it's still their house. It's still their burial ground. It's their bones. It's wherever they die. They don't know how to move on.
That is a good point as well. And I want to add on to that what you were saying earlier about our listeners who aren't too familiar with the terminology between a residual haunting and an intelligent haunting. A residual, like you said, is basically a loop, a playback. It's a recording that's happening from something that happened in the past that's not actually happening in our time. An intelligent haunting is when you have a spirit or a ghost that actually interacts with you, so it's happening in real time. And that's the difference between those two types of hauntings for our listeners there. And let's go back to Brent here. Go ahead and share some more information with us there.
Yeah, so me and my co-founder, Chad, I got him here with us. We started out, we want to be as serious as we can about this. And this is something we strive for. So I've got a friend up in Oklahoma. Her name's Natasha. And she's a psychic medium, and I never really believed in it before, but she has proven herself time and again. She's been dead spot on about things that she would never even know about. So one thing she instilled in us is what you want to do is you're coming into their space. So one thing we do when we just start an investigation is, like, let's say we go to a cemetery. We ask for permission, you know, hey, we're coming to your house. You be respectful as possible, and you usually want to bring an offering. Like you know, if you're dealing with a kid, you bring a toy or, you know, something is an offering. And that's what we try to do wherever we go, because you want them to interact with you. You come in there being rude, being provoking, you're not going to get the kind of activity you want.
Yeah.
They might not even show up at all.
That's why I can't stand Ghost Adventures. Because they're always provoking everybody. I'm like, stop it.
They do. Yeah, provoking is something I agree with as well.
Yeah, because I'm screaming at the screen, stop it!
So for these people out here listening, you know, here's my thoughts. Okay, so what we see is an hour-long TV show. What they don't show you is, so sometimes they'll stay at these, you know, these investigation sites 2-3 days, maybe a week, and they'll pile the best investigation up. But as you can tell from Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, they're bound by a contract. And, with you know, of course, they if they don't get stuff happening, they're going to just have to kind of fake it, you know.
I agree.
You know, I'd say rule of thumb, probably about 50% of that, 50 to 60% is real. I mean, because you can tell what's real and then what they fake, because their reactions are just so rehearsed. Now, I don't know how many movies y'all watched on demonic possession. Well, I never really believed in it. I was like, oh, that's just Hollywood stuff. Let me tell you, I've got another guy in our group. His name's David. And David's got a girlfriend who, excuse me, he's got a girlfriend who had a haunted apartment. Well, we went to investigate the apartment, and it went from doors closing, lights getting turned off, to her being full-on possessed. Now, her eyes changed, her voice changed, so we called our friend Natasha. So while we were doing this, I was videotaping. I've still got to get you that video. And I had her in camera, and I had our EMF meter in camera. Now, that's the electromagnetic field meter, but we use the Bell meter with a little probe on it because it's instant. And so as this was going on, we were trying to light some wood. I think it was called Palo Alto. I might have that wrong. And it just wouldn't light. And then while we were trying to do that and Natasha was talking with us, you see the meter had been at like between 0.6 and 0.7. Anything above a 0.5 is crazy. Well, it was getting to, it was like 1.7, 1.8 steadily, and you could see her getting agitated. Well, that eventually passed, and so we got her out of the house and had our friend on the phone, and she just started, you know, she started doing her chant in her native tongue. And when I tell you this woman changed, I'll tell you about her eyes went black, and she charged right at Mr. Chad here, and that was the most intense moment I've ever encountered.
I can't imagine. I mean, I've heard about possessions, and I do believe they can happen, but I've never experienced one like that. Wow, that's got to be terrifying.
But Conway, or not Conway, Mayflower, I told you about. So I was out, we were out there. And what we did is we set our camera up. You could hear footsteps walking behind it. And that was after you see us walk off camera. So, the night in question I told you about, 2018, where the lady opened up something that she couldn't close. Well,
yeah.
Her daddy was a reverend, okay? Her daddy's a reverend. He's buried out there. And so I went over there with her while she was talking to her daddy. And 3 seconds before the recording shuts off as we're about to leave, you can hear her daddy telling her, don't say goodbye. And that, I don't know who you, I don't care who you are, but that is the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life. It sent chills down my spine.
Oh, like, man.
Her daddy telling her daughter not to say goodbye.
What's y'all's
opinion on EVPs and how to tell if you've got something, you know, intelligent versus something scripted?
Or not scripted, but residual. My opinion on them is, you know, as long as you respect the person you're trying to reach, I mean, I've seen a lot of people, not on just ED, but, like, certain tours around here, like, show me this, show that me. I'm like, don't shout at them. I mean, please. I mean, as long as it's used respectfully and, you know, I'm not against them completely. But, you know, there's a lot of fake equipment out there, too. It's like, I work on Amazon, some stuff is like $80, but it's a piece of junk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with EVPs, though, that is definitely an interesting topic. I mean, I've heard a few myself. I've even caught a few myself. A lot of times it's hard to make out what's being said, but usually you can tell, you know, what's legitimate and what's not. But it seems electrical devices, like, you know, recorders are the best medium of communicating with the other side, other than someone who's psychic.
You know, I've come to realize something, you know, and it, so what these people try to do is they try to, and look, I love Ghost Stop. That's who I do my business to. And they've got some wonderful products. But just think, man, you know, if you look for as long as history's, you know, been talking about it, ghosts have been caught on way less high-tech stuff than we have now. You know, you don't need $1,000 camera or a $500 grid thing, you know.
Nope.
Heck, honestly, when I first started out, I don't know if y'all remember those little Olympus tape recorders that actually had the little tiny tape in it.
Yep.
Those were pretty cool.
Oh yeah. They worked.
You know, so. Oh, yeah, so anybody think, oh, I can't do this because I don't have what Ghost Hunters has? Well, you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got these pictures all over the internet from people using their phones or just digital cameras. I mean, heck, even film cameras. I mean, you don't need super high-tech equipment to go out and investigate.
You don't. No, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, I've caught numerous times faces in Cerritos just from my phone.
And I can tell you, phone is one of your best tools to have. It has everything you need built into it.
Oh, yeah.
Has anyone else experienced other places of hauntings besides Arkansas, Savannah, like I did? Because I know living in New York, you know, the house I grew up in was super duper haunted. My mother unfortunately died in that house. I felt, you know, fingers touching me, things going ooga booga booga in my ear, be thrown off the bed. And there's this one place in Havistar, New York, called Letchworth Village. I drove past there one day with friends, and I felt, and that was an insane asylum. Have you ever went to, like, those abandoned insane asylums, anybody?
I haven't. How about you, Brent?
I'm sorry. What was that last part? My phone cut out.
Have you ever been to like, an insane asylum?
Yes, not an insane asylum.
But we
went to... Yeah, because
I'm sorry. All right, go ahead, Brent.
I mean, that's what we're talking about.
So I haven't been to an insane asylum, but I have been to a tuberculosis sanatorium, and that was a very interesting place. I mean, because the place we investigated, upwards of 50,000 people died from tuberculosis or these crazy experimentations that these doctors did. And, you know, some of the doctors were not the best in the world, but there was this one area. There was four rooms, and it was on the third floor, and it was locked. There was a glass door, because that was where they kept the criminal patients. And let me tell you, I have seen some crazy things there. So the first floor is the only one that has electricity. Now, I haven't been back in about 10 years, but the first floor has power. The last time I was there, they were still using the first floor. The top five, or the other four, have no power. Well, I wasn't there, but my first team I was with, him and his brother were up there, and they caught an elevator door opening. That there's no power to it. And I don't know about y'all, but I think everybody who's ever investigated has a dodo moment, you know, a funny moment.
I mean, I've never actually investigated, but be very paranormally sensitive. Like, I've felt things. And that, going back to the same time in New York, these are people that were critically disabled and they were abused. Right?
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, like those places, like the tuberculosis place, at quote-unquote insane asylums for people who are disabled, of course it's haunted. Those people were piled up in beds. They were mistreated so bad because they didn't know how to treat these people. And that's why it's so haunting. And I literally, when I drove by there, I threw up. The energy was so strong, I threw up. Have you guys ever thrown up from, like, so much energy, you know, by a place, but not really, you know, investigated, but the energy is so strong that you throw up?
I've heard of it happening, but I haven't experienced it myself, but I have heard of that.
That's one of those fucking people that throw up.
So, going back to Mayflower, I go back there. Well, there's something around this little sanctuary, and so I had something go on, and I was almost entranced by the place, and I couldn't leave. So my co-founder here, Chad, he tried to get me up, and he said, "Man, you're not yourself." And as I started walking away, I got physically sick. I got sick. I got a headache. It's like it wanted to keep me there. It's some stuff, you know. It's stuff will give you energy, and if you've got any kind of empathic abilities at all, I don't know who believes in that, who doesn't. But
I do.
Some of these people can feel it, and like it affects them so strongly. You know, my co-founder Chad, his wife, if you don't let me talk about your wife, his wife was investigating with us, and when it was mad, she was mad, and when we caught laughing, she was laughing. So like, you got people who are in tune to this, and if something traumatic happens, they can feel it, you know, and what's so awesome about the internet these days is you can go back and actually tie what you felt to an actual event. So that just even deepened my belief in that stuff. But going back to funny moments, man. So I want to say it was 2012, 2013. We went to the sanatorium, and keep in mind, you can't see your hand in front of your face, okay? Pitch mm-hmm. black dark. And so we had our Sony night vision cameras, and that's the only way we're seeing. Well, we were coming up on this room. It was on the left side, and we heard something. And we started, we kind of got a little anxious a little bit. Well, we got closer, and the only thing we see in our camera is something flying at us.
Oh,
so
geez.
we take off running, and keep in mind, in this building, there's low-hanging air conditioning units, so it's really easy to smash your head on one. So I took off running. Oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap. Had my buddy pull me, because that's about to run head first into an air conditioning unit. The other guy was about to run out the door.
Falling head first sounds hilarious.
Oh, you're fine. So he takes off running the other way, and it's so they had a door, or like a window. I think the window was open, and it led out to the little roof access, and then boom, there's the edge of the building. So if he would have kept running, he would have fallen off the building, and
oh, geez.
It ended up being a pigeon. We got scared over a pigeon.
A pigeon. Not a ghost, but a flying bird. Yeah.
that's some fun stuff, man. If you think about the people who investigate paranormal, me, Chad, and our buddy, and the people I've ever got,
mm-hmm.
We're crazy. I mean, you have to not be crazy to go in somewhere that's always. But yeah, you got to be crazy to go in there and talk to something. That might not
you
even be
a good mindset. Yeah, you got to have a good mindset or not have a good mindset to do what we do.
I don't know if you guys remember the days, but even like back in the days with me, it's like, if you do paranormal, like there's something wrong with you. Now it's something now.
It's
like around the time my mother died, I was like to my dad, there's something wrong, like, if you ever experience, like, a year where someone's about to die, or a year, you know, birds were chirping at 3, 4 in the morning, sound like they were being attacked, and that just weird buzzing sounds, in my opinion. I hate dealing with the angel of death. That thing messes with me all the time, but, you know, I was like to my father, I'm like, there's something really weird happening. There's, like, spirits or something that's, like, really strong in when I lived in New York. My father didn't believe me until my mother died. They would, like, keep it to yourself, keep it to yourself. My fiancé, well, not to be husband, I one time, and this is just being, you know, paranormal sensitive and being psychically gifted person that I am, yeah, I was glad that died of a heart attack. But it felt like something was, like, on my chest, like I was having a heart attack the next day, and he was not happy with me. You know, the thing is, I'm not an investigator, just paranormal just comes to me, if that makes any sense.
All right.
It does. It's not something that we can explain. I hear you.
So, yeah, go ahead and start talking. What you were going to say.
But,
yeah, Mayflower so far has been by far the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where we've caught our first actual intelligent EVP saying don't record.
Don't record. Wow.
Well,
yeah, it said don't record.
I guess something's telling you. We don't want to be recorded. Go away.
Right.
Well,
I mean,
the cemetery.
And then that next week, we went to review everything, and our memory card got wiped out.
By itself? No, just no glitch or anything? It just disappeared?
Yeah. Brent went to format it, and then it said,
so
files deleted.
The thing is, so the August 6th is when we went, and we went the following weekend, and Chad was there. We recorded stuff, okay, and then when I went to record, or when I went to review everything, it was all wiped out.
Wow.
There was no file on my Phasm camera, and everything got erased from my Sony V3. So we lost everything the following weekend after it said don't record.
Interesting. That's May 5th.
Yeah, it
was pretty
like
crazy.
I didn't want to be disturbed. That's what it sounds like.
Have you been by back since and got anything, or was that the only time that happened? Have you been back there since getting stuff, or was that a one time thing?
We have not been back there since.
We went back the weekend after.
Yeah. But after that, we haven't been back. Our friend Natasha said just we need to stay away from it. So we're gonna respect her. We're not gonna go back until she gets back down here, until she can help us figure out what's going on with this place. Because now one thing that's interesting is Chad. Chad has seen some things over there, and he was over by the gazebo and he called me over. Well, I start taking random pictures with my Sony, and I look straight into gazebo, and we get a picture, and then we walk to the other side of it, and we get another picture, and go ahead and tell me what you saw, Chad.
It was a guy about 6'8", just peeking his head inside the chapel. He was 6'8", almost 7 foot, and he was just peeking his head inside the chapel. We caught him twice on V3 that night.
And then to tell him about the one by the broken headstone.
And then the one in the corner was just the apparition, but the other we caught was a full-bodied apparition.
Wow.
That's both in one night. And we think that's what's toying with us out there. It's not evil. It's not, it's not malevolent. It's just, it's like it don't want you there, but it does.
Now, you say 7 feet. Now, could you see his feet and everything, or is it kind of floating to make it that tall? Did you see the whole thing just standing there?
Yeah, the whole thing was just standing there. We'll send you the pictures of it. It's crazy,
yes,
man.
Yes, please do. Please.
I was thinking about the black old dude out here. So, out here where we're at right now, the first time we were out here together as an official group, the one where I told you I caught the little girl peeking into the gazebo, I don't know if I've showed you that photo. But
I haven't.
I'll share those with you. Actually, I sent them to you right now. So what happened was we didn't have a good illuminator, so we couldn't get a super clear. But so in the picture, you see a headstone, and then standing right there, you see a tall, dark blacked out figure, and it looks like it's wearing a robe. My mother looked at the picture, and she said it looked like it was wearing a dress, like a black dress. So I couldn't tell. What I'm about to do right now is the message you sent. I'm just gonna drop it in there, let y'all take a look and get y'all's opinion on it. Let's see here. Now, I don't know how familiar y'all are with Arkansas. I'm going to send y'all three pictures. So, in one of the pictures, there's a gentleman standing there. And then there's one that's kind of darked out. But up in the corner, there's something pretty evil looking I want y'all to look at. And get their opinion on
it. Maybe I can identify them for you and see that who it is. Hold on, let me go see.
Okay, I got the first one here.
Boy, God, that guy is crazy.
And I'm going to send you
three from Mayflowers. It's crazy.
I think that man, the dark, shadowy man, it looks like he was like an owner of something for a while. That's what I'm picking up. Like he owned something on that property you were on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's far away. He looks like he was, you know, a farm worker. But if you see biblical times, like a lot of those shepherd working men, they wore things that look kind of like dress, if you get what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Wow.
Yeah, the last picture is hard to see, but, like, the shadow guy looks like he's from, like, the 1940s or 1950s. Like, this is what I'm getting, like, my intuitive reading on this guy. Like, he was, like, an owner, like, it could have been, like, his farm, it could have been his property. And the dress thing, it could have been, like, a farm worker or something. And this is in Arkansas, right?
That's correct. Oh, and here's, this last picture I send you is the one we got from the outside.
This is him looking in.
This is him looking in.
Oh.
But, yeah, I mean, they're not malicious. But also, I'm scared from that first picture. It actually could have been actually a slave. Because the South, unfortunately, with our rich history and slavery, that actually, I look at it again, that could have been a slave on that man's property.
Well, this is the thing with that is the cemetery we're at right now, there's both Union and Confederate soldiers buried here. So, and that dark figure is right around that area where those stones are.
Yeah.
He looks like he owns something. Here, I'm gonna put all my Sorrel Weedhouse photos. Hold on, 1 second. If you see, like, there's like, you zoom in, there's like a Native girl, there's a Bonnet girl. And there's some other faces that are just popping out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And actually went into
the
store.
You see him, Brett?
I see that. Right there.
Yeah, I see that. I called a jerk. Now, I was actually training, and I'm like, guys, like, go away. I'm training here. Leave me alone. What do you want? Like, no.
Are you guys going to be sharing these with the group on the Facebook stream too?
I posted, so SPS Arkansas is our Facebook page, and, you know, heck, I paid for advertising and all that. I had some leave some harsh comments, but that's okay, you know. People need to feel important. The thing is, we can't really get good feedback from the group. Let's say the analytics show it reached 100 people, but I might get one like out of it. So, I mean, if anybody listening tonight would like to go check out our page, SPS Arkansas, we're gonna be uploading regularly. And then we're going to post on there when I've got an email set up, and I've got a YouTube page set up. We're going to post the links to all that soon.
Drop the links in our group so we can find that where you are.
Superior Paranormal Services, SPS, that's our group. And like I said, I'm not trying to, but I'd like some, you know, people from other states, if they like, we'd like to travel and investigate if you give us the opportunity, and we take this very seriously. We don't mess around. We
So
that's very good.
I totally appreciate that, Brent, that you guys are just so respectful to the places you investigate. Like, I totally appreciate that. Like, that's cool in my book, that you guys have so much respect, like your team does.
And you know what kills me is, I'm sorry, what kills me is, you know, I keep watching these you know, music videos and whatnot, and I see all these children that have passed away, and it just, their things were so hard back in the day, and that's what kills me is when a child's involved and you don't know the story, you don't know if they've been hurt or if they just got sick, and it just that's the hardest part about this.
Child deaths are the saddest. I hate child deaths. There are so many child deaths here in Savannah, the Kehoe House. You know, two kids were playing hide and go seek, and they decided to go to the chimney, and they weren't found until dinner time when they were shish kebab. You know, there's little Gracie Watson. That Pulaski Square used to have Pulaski Hotel. They say she haunts Johnson Square, but also that she haunts Bonaventure Cemetery. I personally haven't done too much Bonaventure Cemetery. I've done a lot of Colonial Park Cemetery. And funny fact with Colonial Park Cemetery, General Sherman and his men, when it was wintertime, you know, with the Civil War, took refuge in Colonial Park Cemetery, and all the grave markers and stuff were knocked down. You know, people vandalized grave markers with children older than their parents. But they built the Abercorn Street. A lot of those grave markers were actually moved to a wall. So there is no grave marker to any of the graves. How crazy is that, guys?
It's pretty, yeah.
So we just had an interesting thing just happen to us while we're on the phone here. Chad's going to take it away and tell you what just happened.
So we seen a little shadow figure inside this gazebo, and I took my mail meter in there. It spiked to a 0.8 and then just went completely zero.
Wow. The gazebo.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, kills along with it. So,
shadow
figure
is my favorite.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing is, you're out here in a cemetery, and so what we like to do is Chad's the mail meter guy, and what he does what we do when we get to a place and we do base reading, and you know, up to a 0.5 is normal, but if you're out here in the middle of nowhere and you get a high spike like that, it's got to be something.
Definitely.
And so Mayflower, again, this is the last time I bring up Mayflower, but I don't know, y'all might find this interesting. So what we did is I put my phone up to the mail meter here, and so it spiked at a 40, okay? And that's a lot of electromagnetic field. Well, I started singing, and, well, it didn't like it. I got 3 readings separate times of 120 plus milligals.
That is a lot of energy.
I've never been able to explain it. That is the highest reading I've ever seen.
I've never seen that.
What was bizarre is my phone was locked. You know, it was turned off. And so my phone screen lit up while I was recording on it, and it spiked 129, but I don't know what did it because I didn't catch anything on recording. So it was very, very, very odd, but that was the highest spike I got that night. It was scary, wild.
Yeah, that is That's unheard of. I didn't see it that high.
You know, and anybody that's wanting to start investigating, I suggest carrying Palo Santo. It is amazing.
What is that?
The Palo Santo.
Mm-hmm.
Black sage.
Oh, okay.
And it's
yeah.
amazing.
You need
yeah,
protection
it,
for sure.
It's amazing because we used it a couple of weeks ago that Saturday night, and it wasn't happy.
Guess not. Wow.
I mean,
now, I've heard spirits, you know, sage is actually supposed to get rid of them. So they weren't happy with the sage. That's probably like, what are y'all trying to do? Try to get rid
yeah,
of that,
yeah.
huh? What are you trying to do? Try to mess
right.
with that, huh?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, as soon as I started to light it up, I mean, my mail meter was steadily spiking. I mean, and it was pissed.
I see that. All right. Well, guys, it's been a fast hour. We got about 4 minutes left. We're going to start wrapping up. I'm going to go ahead and let Brett go ahead and give another shout out to your group there so people can look you up. You can also put it on my group as well. We'll get some people to come join you out there.
That'd be awesome. Again,
that would be great.
Superior Paranormal Services, Arkansas, or if you go SPS Arkansas, we'll be glad to have you, and
mm-hmm.
we're quick to respond. So we'd love to talk to you. See what you got.
We'll send you the link.
Please do. I'll check it out myself. And also, Haley's also working on starting her tour thing. Wants to get some information on that.
We're definitely.
Hold on a second.
What's a good month for y'all? Maybe early next year, late this year, we can all get together, meet up, and do an investigation.
Yeah.
In Georgia.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
I'll be good, but the thing is, you'll have a psychic on the team. Woo! Okay, so what's my tour? It's good. It's the developmental stages, but it'll be called the Paranormal Psychic Tours.
Mm-hmm.
And the tour is going to be, you know, the history. It's the history. It's, you know, compassion for the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal. It's going to be a comedy, a little comedy, not, you know.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you what some people do. But, yeah, I would totally be able to take you guys around. You know, we could do a little Grove Cemetery, which actually the Sorrell family is actually buried there.
We'll plant something.
And actually, a whole
spot over there by the bush.
I'll check it out. Give a shout out to Stevie.
Hey, and also, I really want to give a good shout out to Stevie.
Stevie.
Miller, he's the one who got me in touch with, you know, you, Ricky, and it's really nice to have somebody that does this professionally. It's just nice to have different feedback, and I really appreciate all the advice he's given. And
yes,
it's really been a pleasure getting to know you and Stevie and Haley tonight, and I really hope we can do this again.
We will.
Oh, yeah. Definitely look me up. I'll take you around Savannah. You know, I can't get you too many houses, But believe me, outside of a lot of those houses, especially what me and Ricky experienced when I took them and we did that tour video, you'll definitely get a lot, and I mean a lot, of ghost activity. Believe me.
All right.
Even during the daytime.
We've got about a minute left, so I don't want to cut you off too early, but I got to go ahead and wrap up. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. We would definitely do this again, and I want to thank you all for joining me. Give you a shout out to Stevie, like you said, and anybody else who's listening, Lisa, of course, and Jason, Jacob, my friend Josh, William, Glenn, all of you guys getting a shout out. And until next time, guys, thanks again for joining me on the show. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Brent.
Bye.
All right, guys, 20 seconds left. I do want to say the next episode coming up on Tuesday is with my buddy Josh. The following Saturday coming up is going to be with William Glenn again. And thanks for listening, and I want to appreciate you guys for listening. And I'll catch you guys on the next show. Good night.